Blog Talk Radio.
And now I present to you that International Bible Teacher of Teachers, Seer Israel of Seed Well. He will utter dark things and mysteries which have been kept from the foundation of the world, showing us the way to go. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
The Seer of Seed Royal.
To the four corners of the globe, praise his righteous and powerful name. Hallelujah.
Live Jaguars Radio. Worldwide international radio broadcast, Jaguars Radio, featuring voices of the true Israelites, six anointed camps. I be your host, thy name, your seer, Israel of Seed Royal. We're doing a series called The Biblical and Scholarly Journey of the True Israel, the Israelites, from covenant to exile. They received a covenant, then they did not keep the covenant, and they went off into exile. You see that? So when you don't keep the covenant, you're going into exile.
Stand up, Dr. Harrison. He's just as much Gentile as I am. By the flesh, neither one of us are the seed of Abraham. He's just a different flavor of the same mess. Christianity is not rooted in white men. Christianity is rooted in Judaism, and Judaism is rooted in Abraham, and Abraham was rooted in God. This is not about colors. This is not about colors. This is about covenant. It is about covenant. It is not about colors.
Hallelujah, bro. It's not about colors. It's about covenants. That was Thomas Dexter said. You're right, T.D. Jakes. It is about covenants, and that's a great thing. And we mentioned to an up and coming teacher called and security, Brother Nehemiah, to get me a little research together, and we're going to check him out. But like I said again, you're right, it's not about color, it's about covenant. That's a great thing. So in that book out of the Timbuktu, it tells us, Brother Nehemiah, it tells us plainly how did the color was even talked about, because it never was so in the beginning. But that's what they talk about. But they have a tendency to... But in the book of Timbuktu, we're going to find out where that color came from, that color talk. Where all that color talk came from. We're going to probably find out in this lesson. We don't know. See, one thing about it, you have to, the six anointed camps, you got to be prepared to teach on the run, and that's why you have to make sure you incline with understanding the role that you've been ordained to do. And you can get a lot of challenge in that and time upon it. Okay, we'll leave that to the side for a minute. And we'll pull up the disclaimer. Like we say, Brother Nehemiah, the disclaimer is we are a peacefully, nonviolent, Bible study-based ministry up on the YHWH, Yahweh's True Ministry. We're not anti-anybody. We pro 12 tribes of Israel, and we're not connected to any organization. If anybody says the six anointed camps are forces of a true Israelite, connected with them, they are alive in the pits of hell. Because we play lead roles. And what we lead in is the breaking down scriptures in this Bible through the precepts. That's what we lead in. That's what we lead in. Breaking down the scripture and unlocking this Bible to give it back to the children of the captivity, 12 tribes of Israel, uncut, with the proper understanding of how you got up into this problem you're in today and the solution, how to get out of it. That's what we're about. So we make no bones about the affairs of this world, although we in this world. But we're not of the world, because we understand that what's said about being in the world and what Yahweh says about that. So we're going to take care of Thomas T.D. Jakes a little bit later. So remember one thing, today's date is September the 15th, 2024, tape number 103, and we're just going to play it again by the Spirit of Yahweh. We got a lot of memos on the table, and we're going to take our part and just say it's Yahweh, and we're going to lead by example. The game changes how you lead by example. The hotter, the better in the Word of Yahweh, but you got to be prepared to take a deep breath and know your role and just say as Yahweh and deliver. Because Yahweh gave that power to his son, and son gave it to the ministering spirits, and they brought it down to the seer. And the seer take it to the elders, and the elders take it to them young lion teachers, and them young lion teachers take it to the fathers of the children of Israel. And the fathers take it to the mothers of the children of Israel. And the mothers take it to the children of Israel. See? So once that protocol is in order, at a high rate, we'll be able to tell you the next move according to the scripture. So remember, we're not anti-anybody, and we're not connected to anybody, no group. No groups, because we look at the definition of everything. Yahweh told the children of Israel, make no leagues with the inhabitants of the land. And when you make a league with the inhabitants of the land, that means you're cutting him out. So when you make a league with the inhabitants of the land, you're cutting him out. And see, when you cut him out, you're going to pay the price. We're going to take a look at something when we look at what happened when the children of Judah made a league with the king of Portugal. They made a league with him. Just like the Buffalo Soldiers made a league. But they all out, they may allegedly take their brothers down. So sooner or later, you have to pay the price by making a lid, by taking your brother down sooner or later. So that's going to take up to the understanding of that 1619, what happened in 1619, the second time around of the 400 years. See, a lot of information, and you have to sit on pins and needles until the ministry of Yahweh's voices of the true Israelites bring out this information. And prayerfully the teachers that going to teach this learn what to do with the time appointed. Got it? Good. All right, so that's it. We see them coming on stage for the nice episode, part number 103, and we see an up-and-coming teacher by the name of Nehemiah Israel, the security, up-and-coming teacher. We're going to find out, is he ready to holler in that microphone? That's what we're going to find out. Is he ready to holler in that microphone? If you holler in that microphone and study, he's going to be all right. If he holler in that microphone right and study, he's going to be all right. At the time appointed, he's going to be able to deliver, because Moses had a specific job that was told by the Mighty One, 11th chapter, verse 16, 17, 23, and 25 of Numbers. He said, look out there and get me 70 men, elders of the children of Israel. And you look out there, you find them first. Then what you do, you put them in a spot in the temple. Then I'm going to come down and take the spirit that's on you, Moses. I'm going to put it on them, that you won't bear this burden alone, and then y'all going to excel in grand style. You can't be all over the place. You can't be messing around saying, because you don't got a couple of verses together, all of a sudden now, you can do your own thing. No, it don't work like that. It don't work like that. This thing about connecting the 12 tribes of Israel that is scattered through every nation upon the sun, and it will take a body of 70 elders to get to these teachers and get them in order to take care of this business. So that's how it's going to be. So we're going to see if we find our brother Nehemiah, up-and-coming teacher out of camp number one. Is he ready to holler in that microphone by saying, Brother Nehemiah, Yahweh be to that seed right here.
And Yahweh bless you, Seer Israel of Sea Royal. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh. All right, there, Brother Nehemiah. Brother Nehemiah, I need to hear some of that good research you got on the families that came to Jamestown, Virginia in 1619. And I need to remember the key one thing. The word James means Jacob. Jacob. So they came to Jacob's town. See, at that time, guess who was in charge in that 1600? The Stewart family. The Stewart family. And guess who the Stewart family were? King James. The Stewart family, they was in, when them 13 colleges were put together, guess what? Guess who was the head of that? The Stewart family. See? And guess what the Stewart family looked like? The King James, what they look like? The sons of Zora. Do you know who the sons of Zora is in 38th chapter of Genesis? He's Perez's brother. Do you know who Perez and Zora's father is? Judah. You know what color Judah is according to the 14th chapter verse Jeremiah? Black to the ground. Eh? Did you know King James, the picture you see is not a correct picture? He's a black man. Huh? From the tribe of Zora. Huh? You didn't know that, did you? Oh, well, I know you see the picture's white, because it's been whitewashed. Now, King James is from the tribe of Zora, the tribe of Judah. He had a brother named Perez. In the 38th chapter of Genesis, you can read about the two brothers. One had a red thread put on his hand because he was ready to come out and change his mind and came back in the womb. And his brother Perez said, okay, we're going out the way. I get on out there. And there's been a fight between them two brothers even to this day. You don't know that history. But we know that history. Okay? And we know that Zora left about 200 years earlier before the Exodus and went to Europe. You know, because he knew he was supposed to run something by being the firstborn, but he was the firstborn, but he draw back. See, when you draw back, according to Hebrews chapter 10, 35 to 39, he ain't got no pledge in you. You can't draw back. You got to keep going forward. So when you draw back, all of a sudden you thought, don't understand why so much problems come in your life, in your mind, your body, because you broke the scriptures. You can't draw back in this thing, man. You got to go forward. So Zora draw back his hand, and Perez jumped out there. Look at WCC said, see what that story is. Well, what that story is, we might talk about that too then, WCC. We know how you, what you do, how you roll. But it's your hour right now. But sooner or later, we're going to wake up. And the Sixth Council, and we're going to get our people on the right track, and we're going to start getting in what we fit in at, and we're going to start doing more donating, support. And then all of a sudden, land, school, banquet hall, radio station will be all over the place. And then once they set up, that's going to be the hand of Yahweh. So that's why we say support this ministry. For what reason? Land, school, banquet hall, radio station. Don't you want your parents one day to come to a big old place where they can sit down and where the mother's at and sit down where the daughter's at and learn the truth about what really happened to you and how to get back on the good foot with thus says Yahweh. So support this ministry. Hit that PayPal. Donate to this ministry and watch that we will take care of business on getting you a place, facility so big, so large that you won't have to have a whole lot of teachers got to be prepared. And that's what we're trying to do now. See who ready to step to the plate and start doing some teaching. I mean, not no just no drag the feet teaching. I mean some knockdown, drag-out teaching. Know how to just pop this Bible with the Spirit of Yahweh. So, Brother Nehemiah, we're going to look at Luke chapter 12, verse 12, and then we're going to see what kind of research you got and see do we have some good information on the first families that came to Jacobstown. They call it Jamestown, Virginia. See, Virginia at the time in the 1600s, it reached all the way from Florida to Canada. Now, 13 colonies were put together. Guess what? The Stuart family was in charge. The Stuart family is the family of Zora. Did you know that? When the 13 colonies were put together, did you know a black man was over all that from the tribe of Zora, which is Judah's brother? I mean, Judah is the father and Perez. And, well, I'll tell you what, we'll read a little bit of that latter-day saints. We'll read a little bit of that. But let's see, can we get us some Luke chapter 12, verse 12. Let's see what's going on there, Brother Nehemiah. Come on.
Luke chapter 12 and verse 12. For the righteous spirit shall teach you in the same hour what you are to say.
In that very same hour, the righteous spirit will teach you what you ought to say. And see, you got to, and what do it tell you in Hebrews 10:35, Brother Nehemiah? What does it say in Hebrews 10:35? What does it say?
Hebrews chapter 10, and verse 35. Hebrews 10 and 35. Hebrews 10 and 35 says, cast not away therefore your confidence, which have great recompense of reward.
Read that again, Brother Nehemiah. Read like you see it with some spirit there, Brother Nehemiah. You got over 900,000 on the international side. And you kind of got a little drag in you, and plus you didn't read it properly. Take your time and look at it real carefully. Put some air in your chest and deliver the knockout blow. Brother Nehemiah, up and come and teach you how to count one. Come on with it. Some spirit, come on.
Hebrews 10 and 35. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which has great recompense of reward.
What's the next verse say?
36. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of Yahweh, you might receive the promise.
You might receive the promise. That means if you don't have 438 of Baruch. 438, you gotta have you some Baruch. What makes it 3? Let's see, which one is it? You gotta have you some Baruch going. What's Baruch saying, 438? Brother Nehemiah, I'm kind of shooting from the hip right now. But, and Baruch, it talks about something, Brother Nehemiah. But I'm struggling right now on a verse that what he's saying in 4, he talks about when you get on a good book with this book, you gotta seek him so many times, Brother Nehemiah. So can you don't see out of hallelujah? Well, okay, give me what I need then, Brother Nehemiah. Give him see what he needs. Call it out. Come on.
That's Baruch chapter 4 and verse 28. For as it was your mind to go astray from Yahweh, so being returned, seek him 10 times more.
Ain't that something? Excellent. You see what you got to do? See, when you return back to Yahweh, you got to seek him 10 times more. That means you got to be first one in, last one leave. See, when you get your mind right, understand one thing. You're going to get knocked down in Yahweh. It's up to you to get up. Let's go to 12th chapter and pick up at verse 4. Let's get a precept on that. Hebrews 12, verse 4. Let's read down to verse 9. Let's get a precept on that. Because, see, the world thinks this is a cakewalk. No, according to Hebrews 4, verse 12, Brother Nehemiah, let's read down from Hebrews 12, chapter 4, down to verse 9. Let's read a little bit and see what's going on there, Brother Nehemiah Israel. Come on.
Hebrews chapter 12, verses 4 through 9. You have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. 5. You have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Yahweh, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. 6. For whom the Yahweh loveth, he chasteneth, and scourge every son whom he received. 7. If you endure chastening, Yahweh dealt with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? 8. But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then you are bastards and not sons. 9. Furthermore, we have had father of our flesh, which corrected us and gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the father of spirits and live?
You see that? He said, your father's correcting you. He said, one, that he loves it, that he gonna get at you. So understand one thing, he gonna get at you to see what you're made of. See, he gonna get at you. Let's get a precept on that. Let's go to the book of Judges. Chapter 7, pick up the verse 3. He said, when Yahweh get at you, he gonna scourge you a little bit. He gonna beat your back a little bit. But if you endure getting your back beat, then he deal with you as sons and daughters. This ain't no cakewalk what we doing here. Matter of fact, in 33:17 of Sirach says what? And what it says in Sirach, I know you got your five markers already ready. So in Sirach 33:17, what it say there, Brother Nehemiah?
Sirach 33:17. It says, consider that I labor not for myself only, but for all them that seek learning.
You see that? We don't come on this broadcast for ourselves to hear toot our own horn. No. We labor for those that want some learning. We're not doing it just to hear ourselves back and forth and all the slander reports that we get. No. We know we got a job to do, and we going to do it. Eh? We come on this broadcast 6 nights a week to teach you it's time to come back to the law, statutes, and commandments. We come to teach you these things. Come back to the law, statutes, and commandments. And according to Romans there, I know you got a mark on whatever we said. Come back there in a minute. Let's go to Romans chapter 12 and look at 1 down to verse 4. There, Brother Nehemiah. Romans chapter 12, 1, 2, 3, 4. What did it say that, Brother Nehemiah?
Romans chapter 12, 1 through 4. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of Yahweh, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, righteous, acceptable unto Yahweh, which is your reasonable service. 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of Yahweh. 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as Yahweh has dealt to every man the measure of faith. 4. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office.
Mm-hmm. You see, everybody can't be in fear. And everybody can't be there. Read verse 4 again, Brother Nehemiah. Read verse 4 again.
Romans chapter 12 and verse 4. Whereas we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office.
See, all members do not have the same office. See, you understand something. Everybody can't be stacked up on each other's head. If only they put every part in the car and they stack it all on, stack it all in the front seat. So you ain't going nowhere. That means it's many components that have to be spread out, but everybody get to the same place. See, everybody cannot be the seer. Everybody can't be the 70 elders that's on their way in the bullpen getting warmed up. Everybody can't be the chief mother. Everybody got a role to play, but everybody's role is basically the same because we all trying to get to a 1 verse 6. We all trying to get to a 1 verse 6 of the book of Acts there, Brother Nehemiah. So we all trying to get to a 1 verse 6. What it say we can read in 1 verse 6 of Acts? Come on.
Acts chapter 1 and verse 6. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Yahweh, when wilt thou this time restore again the kingdom to Israel?
You see that? So we all trying to get, give me a precept on that, Mark 1:15. Mark 1:15.
Mark chapter 1. And verse 15. Mark chapter 1 and verse 15. And saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of Yahweh is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel.
Mm-hmm. He said, the kingdom is at hand. He said, repent and believe the word, which is the covenant, which is his word. He said, what you need to do now is repent. Repent. The kingdom is at hand. But you're not getting to the kingdom as long as you're a backbiter, murmur, and a complainer. Huh? No. You got to repent because the kingdom is at hand. You got to give out a great repentance on not being a backbiter, murmur, and a complainer. That's where it starts at first. Once you do that, you got a shot to start getting prepared for the kingdom, even if you die out. But once you woke back up, you know where you're going because you've done the necessary steps by repenting. And when you repent, you understand one thing. It's many offices to be fulfilled. But it ain't but one seer of the hour. One seer and 70 elders is in the making. Once we understand these things, the Bible says one seer and 70 elders. Huh?
What about
Latter-day Saint? Where is that 70 elders, seer Israel? Well, where it says that Latter-day Saints, we bring mother that I let Mother D up Israel read that to you then. Since that's what you wanna know. You wanna know where it said that at? We'll read that. You know, they ain't got no problem with that. But let's bring our mother in. One of the mothers out of Cal 1 by saying, Mother D F Israel. One of the mothers out of Cal 1. Yahweh big ass see right.
Yahweh bless you, see Israel of C Royal.
Hallelujah. Well, you know, Brother Nehemiah, you know, he's one of them up-and-coming teachers out of Camp 1. So we don't have to straighten him out there, Mother D of Israel. He wants to be straightened out. And he understands this ain't no Teflon thing. You have to know how to do the dude in grand style. Now, the question on the table, Mother D of Israel, where is these 70 elders that got to come on the scene and how they could come on the scene. Let's go to Numbers chapter 11, Mother. Let's see when you have the big dignitaries out that the seer, he got a list. He not gonna tell you what's on the list, but the seer read what it says in his Bible in the 11th chapter. In the 11th chapter of Numbers there, Mother D.F. Israel. And we'll pick up at verse 15 just to get warmed up. 15 down to verse 17, then 23 down to verse 25. So we're going to see what we can get out of this, Mother. We go on to Numbers chapter 11, verse 15 down to verse 17. They're going to skip down to verse 23, down to verse 25. Take your time now, Mother D of Israel. It's over 900,000 strong on the international side. They all ears. So do your part by delivering. Come on.
Numbers chapter 11, verse 15 and 17 and 23 to 24. Verse 15. And if thou deal thus with me, kill me, I pray thee, out of hand. If I have found favor in thy sight, and let me not see my wretchedness. 16. And Yahweh said unto Moses, gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be the elders of the people, and officers over them, and bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with thee. 17. And I will come down and talk with thee there, and I will take of the Spirit which is upon thee, and will put it upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bearest it not yourself alone. Verse 23. Verse 23. And Yahweh said unto Moses, if Yahweh's hand wax short, thou shalt see how now whether my words shall come to pass unto thee or not. 24. And Moses went out and told the people the words of Yahweh, and gathered the 70 men of the elders of the people, and sat down round about the tabernacle. 25. And Yahweh came down in a cloud, and spake unto him, and took of the Spirit that was upon him, and gave it unto the 70 elders. And it came to pass that when the Spirit rested upon them, they prophesied and did not speak.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So there you go right there. So I need a precept on that, Mother dear of Israel. So you see, the seer got great responsibility to do. He got to look all around the world today. And I got to hear their speech. I got to see whose speech is prepared to do this job that's on the table at this time. So the seer have to look all around the known world, and once the 70 elders is in place, and the 70 elders got to be Bible thumpers for the people. They got to be about this man's business, and they got to be, I got to put a rabbit out of the hat there, Brother Nehemiah. And they got to be, and he said the same spirit that's on the seer got to be on them. So that means they have to be, what? Let's see what we can find out, but I'm struggling right now on coming up with what I need to work with in 2 Timothy. They have to be, see, what the seer is looking for is what the Bible says to look for. We're going to 2 Timothy 4, verse 1, Brother Nehemiah, up and coming teacher out of Camp 1. And we're going to do all we can to get you on your feet, to be prepared. To be prepared to take care of this big business, and you might be the one that's going to be sent to sit down on the big dignitaries. We don't know. But we got to try you to see can you stand up when it's hot and heavy. See, the best time you can stand up when you got your brothers and sisters all standing there next to you. But see, can you stand up when you got one reader and a whole crowd of people drinking vinegar with glass in the mouth talking? We'll find out then, can you stand up? That's what we're talking about. So in 2 Timothy 4, 1, let's read a little bit, Brother Nehemiah. Let's read some 2 Timothy 4, 1. And we're going to learn something on the way of learning something. 2 Timothy 4, 1, read down to 1 down to verse 5. Come on.
2 Timothy chapter 4, 1 through 5. I charge thee therefore before Yahweh and the Yahweh the Son, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. 2. Teach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. After their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. 4. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. 5. For watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry.
Mm-hmm. Read verse 2 and 3 again, Brother Nehemiah. Verse 2 and 3 again.
Verse 2. Preach the word, be in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. 3.
Mm-hmm.
For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itchy ears.
You see that? And that time is now, Brother Nehemiah. That time is now, but we got the word in season and out of season. It don't make no difference. We got to teach this word in season and out of season. We got to be prepared to throw down on whatever on the table, because in that very same hour, Yahweh will give you that spirit. That's if you prepare to understand that the greatest power on this earth today is Yahweh's word. And if you got his word, you're going to be more than all right. That's the game changer. But you got to be in season and out of season. And don't care what time it is, it's always going to be prepared to give a Bible answer, not what you think and what you feel. And you don't get into your feelings. You got to know, understand that your job is to hear what they're talking about and meet them where they at, regardless of what you got on the table. You might have something, I put a nice lesson together. But you find out somebody make a statement, and then you got to put that to the side and take care of that business, then get back to the lesson. That's what you do. So that's the game changer right there. Put that aside and get back to the lesson. You know, and correct that. Then get on down the road. That's the game changer. And that's what the seer is looking for. He's looking for the 70 elders. Understand one thing. This ain't no cakewalk here. This thing is about Yahweh's word, and Yahweh's word is the most powerful thing on the universe. So, and Mother dear Israel, you was holding something for me. I want to make sure that you was holding something funny. Let me see which. I see you all. You got your microphones all over the place. So let's see which one you working with. Hey, Mother D of Israel, what were you holding for those seers? Weren't you holding something for those seers? Oh, come on, talk to me.
You can't hear me?
Yeah, we hear you in grand style, Mother D.F. Israel. And we even hear them grandbabies in the background, too. So now, but...
There ain't no grandbabies here.
All right, well, you ain't got to give on seal no comeback. Just suck it in and be dead. It ain't, it ain't. So now, when you holding something, when you holding something for those seers, Mother D of Israel?
No, it came from Numbers 11. Last verse I read was 25.
You want to hold number up? Say, okay, hallelujah. Well, I thought I had something on the table.
I was holding Judges chapter 7, verse 3.
Oh, okay. You were holding Judges chapter 7. Okay, let's see what that say. Judges chapter 7, verse 3. What you got?
Judges chapter 7 and verse 3. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, let not all the people go up, but let 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but a few.
Okay, well, hold that point right there. We'll turn it around to 3, verse 7. So turn it around to 3, verse, thank you, Mother Dear of Israel. Turn it around to 3, verse 7. 3, verse 7, let's read a little bit. 3, verse 7, come on.
Judges, chapter 3, and verse 7. Judges 3, and verse 7. Judges 3, and verse 7. It says, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of Yahweh, and forget the Yahweh, their Yahweh, and served Balaam and the groves.
Well, hold on. Evidently, you was in the wrong book. Go back again to Judges 7, verse 3. Like we said the first time, I don't know what you read, but give me Judges 7, verse 3. See, in Judges 7, verse 3 there, Nehemiah, hold on, Brother Nehemiah. Take a deep breath. Don't see it get his thoughts out. See, once we get you prepared to, listen, when the seer crack his microphone up, just hold up. Hold your peace for a minute to get his thoughts out. And then we get at something. So now, in the book of Judges 7, verse 3, see, what I'm looking for is when old Gilead was, he was the man of the hour. So, and then Yahweh knew he was the man of the hour, and Yahweh met him eyeball to eyeball and said, what, in 7 verse 3, come on.
Judges chapter 7 and verse 3. Now therefore go to proclaim in the ears of all the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And they returned. And there returned of the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000.
Go ahead.
Verse 4.
Go ahead.
And the Yahweh said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many. Bring them down unto the water, and I will try them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto you, this shall go with you, the same shall go with you, and of whomsoever I say unto you, this shall not go with you, the same shall not go.
Go ahead.
5. So he brought down the people unto the water, and the Yahweh said unto Gideon, everyone that lappeth of the water with his tongue as a dog lappeth, him shall thou sit by himself. Likewise, everyone that boweth down upon his knees to drink. 6. And the number of them that lapped putting their hand to their mouth were 300 men, but all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water. 7. And the Yahweh said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that have lapped will I save you, and deliver the Midianites into thy hand, and let all the other people go, every man unto his place.
Mm-hmm. So you see what Yahweh said? So that same thing that Osir got to do. He got to see who's going to stand up when it's hot and heavy. Who's going to stand up when it's hot and heavy, because this right here is going to get even hotter and heavier. So the Osir got to check you out and see if you're prepared to, you know, take the licking and keep on ticking. See, all that got to be found out. He said, give me and I'm going to show you what I'm going to do. Since you're the man of the hour, you bring them down to the water. And I'm going to try them there. I'm going to see how many dogs in doing this Yahweh's business is prepared. See, in this case, the dog is a good thing. You want to find out how many warriors they're going to be able to go with Gilead to knock down Esau and his five sons and the Midianites, which is their cousins. See? So he got it down to 300. He said, them same 300, I'm going to strengthen their hands, and they're going to take care of this business. So that's why you better find out now who is with you now than later. That's not a good feeling to find out after you and you find out that who you thought to find out when it come down to certain things that they supposed to never get themselves tied into, they show their hand. And then when they show their hand, you supposed to grin and skin and grin. Because when they show their hand. Because look what it says, mother. In the 8th chapter, verse 35 to 39. Hey, mother of Israel, here's a precept. What it says in Romans chapter 8, 35 to 39, this is called a spirit-led precept. Let's see what it says we can read, Mother Dear of Israel. Romans 8, 35 to 39, deliver.
Romans chapter 8. Verse 35. Romans chapter 8, verse.
You wrote it down. You got your pen, your pad. The seer said Romans chapter 8, verse 35 to 39. So you write it down. You look down your papers all year. Now I'm off and running. I'm leading by example. Romans chapter 8. 35 through 39, Mother
Dear
of Israel. Look at the paper and deliver. Come on.
Romans chapter 8, verse 35 through 39. Verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Yahweh the Son? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or pearl, or sword? 36. As it is written, for your sake, we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. 37. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. 38. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. 39. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of Yahweh, the Father, which is in Yahweh, the Son, Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm. Now, precept that, Mother, in Hebrews 10, the last two verses in Hebrews 10, Look down at the last two verses in Hebrews 10 and precept that right there. Hebrews chapter 10, I think it's about 38 and 39. But the last two verses, mother, put a precept with that for the national audience. So you don't let nothing separate you from the love of some Yahuwah. That's what he's saying. Or else what? Hebrews 10, the last two verses in the 10th chapter of Hebrews, mother, dear up Israel, the love.
Hebrews 10 and 39, but we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul.
That's the last two verses there, mother? So I'm looking for a little bit more out of the last two verses. He said, we not them that draw back as the saving of the soul, but he got something else there, mother. And I'm not hearing what I need to hear. It's something else left. If you draw back from the saving of the soul, there's something else left there, mother. I need a little bit more. Can you help those see out in the national audience? It's a little bit more to it. And I'm not looking at no book. I'm just ran back up under the blue light, just hearing and keeping it moving. But it's something else. It's missing out of that verse, mother. What is that on if you draw back? And what is the penalty of it? That's what I'm looking for, mother. Look down there real carefully and see what the penalty is of drawing back. Come on.
Well, in verse 38, now the just shall live by... Huh?
Hallelujah, why?
Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him.
I'm still looking for a little bit more. Hold on, mother. I'm looking for a little bit more. So what I have to do... I'm going to have to just get the Bible and open up then, because I was running back. But I know when I'm hearing what I need to hear. So since I didn't hear what I need to hear, I got to take the book myself now. And now I got to look at where you at, because what I wanted to hear, I didn't hear. So now I need to hear a little bit more. And that's over there in the verse. I need to hear a little bit more. Let's see what he says here. Let's see. So he says something. If any man draw back, I'm still looking for one more statement. So look at verse 39. That's what I was wanting to hear. I said the last two verses, so I must have never heard 39 then.
That's the first one I read.
Well, hold on, mother. I don't need no comeback. But I said I didn't hear 39. You might have read it, but I didn't hear it. So now look at verse 39. There's a word in there, mother, when you draw back in 39. Remember, you got over 900,000. They listen to you real carefully. And we want to make sure you on in tune on beat. So this is called a rehearsal, mother. So just suck it in and deliver the knockout blow. Verse 39 again. Come on.
Hebrews 10:39. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul.
Hey, Brother Nehemiah, look up the word called perdition. What's that mean for the national? He said, but we are not of them who draw back into perdition. What that word mean for the national? See, if you draw back, this what word gonna be over your head. But this ain't no regular, ain't no regular Negro word. Perdition. What that word mean now, Brother Nehemiah? Take your time and deliver the knockout blow. What this word mean? When you draw back, that's going to be over your head called perdition. What that mean? Come on.
Perdition. P-E-R-D-I-T-I-O-N. It means a state of eternal punishment or damnation into which a sinful and unparalleled person passes after death.
Ain't that something? You mean when you draw back, so if you draw back, but we are not of them who draw back. And that is, what kind of punishment, Brother Nehemiah? What kind of damnation is that? Again, according to what dictionary did you find that out of? What dictionary, you know, give your where you reading it from, you know, because we're here to edify. So where are you reading this information from? The national audience can just go back and check it and make sure you're saying all the right things. So what is your source to read what you just got through reading? Give the national audience your source that you read that from. Come on.
I have Googled it. It says a state in Christian.
Okay, that's good. Says, that's what you did. You Googled it. Okay, good. That's good. You Googled it. That's what I want to hear. See, we ain't about edifying ourselves. So you Google that. Okay, you Google that and you find out the word perdition means what again, that Brother Nehemiah? Take your time, put a little air in your chest and deliver the knockout blow. What do perdition mean when you Google that word perdition? What it mean, Brother Nehemiah? Get in that microphone and deliver. Come on.
In Christian theology, a state of eternal punishment and damnation into which a sinful and unpenitent person passes after death.
Eternal damnation. That's good enough. So that means if you draw back, you're in line for eternal damnation when you draw back. So that means, but according to verse number, what that mean by eternal damnation when you draw back? What that mean, Brother Nehemiah, in verse number 26 and 27, maybe they can break it down. What do that mean when you draw back? Maybe Hebrews 10, 26 and 27 can break that down when you draw back. What do you say in Hebrews 10, 26 and 27? Let's see what was told, and Paul is telling the national audience at the Southern Kingdom Temple about drawing back. 26, 27, deliver.
Hebrews chapter 10, verses 26 and 27. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. 27. But a certain fearful looking for judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries.
Now look at that. Is that plain? Ain't that plain? What perdition mean? Now that's plain right there. See, Brother Nehemiah, you know, that was great what you put on the table, but look at the number one answer. That is written in verse 26 and 27. Okay? So when you draw back, just look for the man to burn you in the fire. That's it. So there's right there. So when you draw back, understand one thing. You get off in your feelings and you draw back. It's all you wait on after you receive the. So that's a member. Our job, the Six Anointed Camps, is to make sure they are heard the uncut truth. Now, once they are heard the uncut truth that cannot be denied, and they draw back from the uncut truth, all they got coming is to wait on the lake of fire. See that, Brother Nehemiah? Now, if you ain't heard the truth, then you got time to get yourself together. But once you heard the uncut truth and you've done your research and you can't get around it, And then you draw back. He said, all you wait for is to be burnt in the fire. Oh, I can't get a hallelujah Yahweh from Mother Dear of Israel for nothing now. I can't get a hallelujah Yahweh behind that. Mother Dear of Israel. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You got to give a hallelujah. If Scripture supports the conversation, when Scripture supports the conversation, you're supposed to automatically crank the microphone and say, hallelujah. Why? Because the Scripture just broke down. If you draw back, all you look for, if you receive the truth, all you wait on is the fire. That's it. That's all you got coming. Huh? So there it is right there. So that's why when Mother read 8:35 through 39, you don't let nothing get in the way of the truth. Now, I need a precept on that, Mother Dear of Israel. I got to go to the book of Matthew. Because we got to be clear about some things. We got to be clear. Hey, we got to understand this thing here. And once you understand this thing, and the seer got to look out there and find those that understand that if the Bible said, that's the end of it. But make sure the Bible say that here, not you just saying that. Make sure the Bible support what you're saying, and that's right. That's right. That's right. If the Bible support it,
yes,
then that's the end. But if the Bible don't support it, I ain't going out like that. But if the Bible support it, there it is. Hey, Mother, we're getting a precept now. We go on to the book of Matthew, chapter 12. And we'll look at verse 46 down to verse 50. Now, we're going to get a precept, Mother. Just call it a precept. See, Brother Nehemiah, you got to study. To be an up-and-coming teacher, you got to study big time, and Yahweh will, he will give you a 334 of St. John. Look, I'm telling you what he do for you. St. John 3:34. What it say that, Brother Nehemiah? St. John 3:34. What it say?
St. John chapter 3 and verse 34. For he whom Yahweh has sent speaketh the words of Yahweh. For Yahweh giveth not the spirit by measure unto him.
You see that? That means Yahweh would not even measure all the blessing he'll do for you in his word when you seek him first. See, if you of Yahweh, you're going to speak the words of Yahweh. Then Yahweh going to pull this thing on you where you, well, the game says, Brother Nehemiah, 21:15 of the book of Luke. What it say in 21 verse 15 of Luke?
Luke chapter 21 and verse 15. For he will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist.
You see that? You see that, Brother Nehemiah? If you get him right, he'll give you a mouth that your adversaries, the game says, they would not be able to resist. Huh? They would not be able to resist. That's why you got to get this thing right, Brother Nehemiah. You got to, you know, you can't get in your feelings. You got to make sure you in a verse. You know, don't get off into your feelings. Get off into this book. Now, give me a precept on that in 59th chapter, verse 19 to 21 of Isaiah. I need a little bit more, Brother Nehemiah. See, that's how you dictate your lesson on a tone of the conversations. The Spirit would dictate your lesson to you. Usually God know how to turn to it. 59:19 down to verse 21 of Isaiah. Listen to this. Come on, Brother Nehemiah. Deliver.
Isaiah 59:19 through 21. So shall they fear the name of the Yahweh from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the spirit of the Yahweh shall lift up a standard against him. 20. And the redeemer shall come out of Yahweh Judah unto them that turn from their transgression in Israel, said Yahweh. 21. As for me, this is my covenant with them, said the Yahweh. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, said the Yahweh, from henceforth and forever.
You hear that, Brother Nehemiah? You want to learn it, you got to find your seed. And your seed, see, his word will be passed on, Brother Nehemiah. See, he said his word will be in the seed line of the children of Israel even to this present day. The bloodline, he ain't talking about no election, Brother Nehemiah. This is a bloodline thing. You remember, the big dignitary, he said, it ain't about color. It's about, it's about covenant. That was a big dignitary say. You see that? Yeah, it is. It's about blood, our bloodline peoples waking up to understand one thing. It's in your blood to do this man's business. It's in your blood.
Stand up, Dr. Harrison. He's just as much Gentile as I am. By the flesh, neither one of us are the seed of Abraham. He's just a different flavor of the same mess. Christianity is not rooted in white men. Christianity is rooted in Judaism, and Judaism is rooted in Abraham, and Abraham was rooted in God. This is not about colors. This is not about colors. This is about covenant. It is about covenant. It is not about colors.
Now you see how he worked the peoples up? Now he worked the peoples up. He said, neither one of them is the seed of Abraham. Well, even Esau is the seed of Abraham, T.D. Jakes, Thomas Dexter. You said you're from the Nebo tribe. You is a seed of Abraham. See, now you see that? You see how falsehood works the peoples up big time, and he lied like a rug. He said, neither one of them is the seed of Abraham. And the peoples got all excited. Well, who are you then, Mr. T.D. Jakes? You're not the seed of Abraham? Abraham produced you. And the one you said set up was the sons of Esau. Both of them came out of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel. But you see how, but that bad teaching worked the peoples up. And see, that's why sooner or later, they're going to all break out running and look for the six and on the camps of the voices of the two is life. It ain't about color. It's about covenant. That's right. It's about the covenant. And we just read in Isaiah 59:19-21, the word of Yahweh should not be absent from the covenant peoples of Israel. And 59:19-21, yeah, it's about covenant. But you got to find out who he gave the covenant to. Huh? That's why Mother D of Israel and those seer, we on these networks trying to get these mothers woke up. Get everybody woke up to understand it is about covenant. But you got to know who the covenant was given to, which is a melanated people called the children of Israel, the one you call African American and Negro. And we're going to break down about this word called Negro, maybe not in this broadcast, but we're going to take care of that too. See, we're going to take care of everything. So, now, Mother D of Israel, You know, give me what I need, Marvin. I know you got it written down for me in Matthew 12:46 down to verse 50. So I need you to deliver the knockout blow for the national audience, Mother D.F. Israel. What does it say you read in Matthew 12:46 down to verse 50? What does it say there, Mother D.F. Israel?
Matthew chapter 12, verse 46 through 50. Verse 46. While he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brother stood without, desiring to speak with him. 47. Then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brother stand without, desiring to speak with you. 48. But he answered and said unto him, they told him, who is my mother? And who are my brothers? 49. And he stretched forth his hand towards his disciples and said, behold my mother and my brother. Verse 50. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother.
Did you hear that? So you see that? See, sometimes you can let your family members get you off track. But you got to understand, this thing is spiritual now. Your family members can get you off track. Your mother, your father, your brother, your sister is what again, mother? That is, he turned around at the temple and turned his back to his biological bloodline family. And what verse did he say, mother, when he turned around, when they gave him that answer, he said, your mother, your brother, your sister, they without, and they desire to speak unto you. He turned his back on his bloodline relatives, and what did he say again, mother, when he addressed the one that brought him that message? What did he say again? One more time, mother. What did he say again? What did he say when he said something? What did he say, mother?
But he answered and said unto him, they told him, who is my mother and who are my brothers?
Go ahead.
49. And he stretched forth his hand towards his disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brother. 50. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother.
Ain't that something? Now, who can make that calling? See that? See, this man lead by example. See, he lead by example. He said, your bloodline people is outside. They won't talk to you. He turned his back on them. He said, my bloodline people is the one that do the Father's will that's in heaven. See, so he leads by example. So you don't let a family member or nobody get you off of leading by example. See, he gonna try you on what you love the most. We'll say, well, that's one of my family members, so I just better do the same thing they're doing. No, that was your tribe. Your tribe was to do what the Bible tells you to do. Your mother, your father, your brother, and sisters is the one that do the will of the Son's Father, which is in heaven. Now, mother, what is his will? Huh? And see, we find out what his will is in the book of Psalms, mother. Now, I'm struggling. In the 40th chapter, mother, in Psalm 40, we're going to find out what is his will. So, but I'm studying right now on his will in Psalm chapter 40. So now, can you help those see out? We're going to find out what is his will. So in Psalm chapter 40, it'll tell us his will. So, but I'm studying right now, Mother Dear of Israel. Go help the national audience out to understand what is Yahuwah's will. What is his will? His will is arm wrestling? Huh? What is his will? Let's find out what his will is in 40 verse 8. Thank you, Mother Dear of Israel. 40 verse 8. Oh, Brother Nehemiah, you taking notes? Hallelujah. What? 40 verse 8. Come on.
Hallelujah.
John 40 verse 8. I delight to do thy will, O my Yahuwah. Yes, thy law is within my mind.
You see that? So when you're on the clock, remember one thing. If you want to do the Father's will in heaven, it's keeping the law, statutes, and commandments. I don't care if you got a bloodline, kin folks. If it's not the will of Yahuwah, then that is your tribe. You say, well, hey, according to what I'm looking at, I got to do the same thing Yahuwah done, for example. The will is keeping the law, statutes, and commandments in order. That's his will. And in Isaiah 40, verse 8, Mother, dear of Israel, hey, Mother, dear of Israel, what it says in 40, verse 8 of Isaiah, now no fear, 300 years picked up on that. 300 years later, and what he said in 40 verse 8 of Isaiah, Mother D, F, Israel, come on.
Isaiah chapter 40 verse 8. The grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of our Yahuwah shall stand forever.
So you see that? So I don't care what generation you in right now, the word of Yahuwah, hey, Mother, How long do the word of Yahuwah stand, Mother Dear of Israel?
Forever.
And that's the end of it. See, you never know what the tribe's going to be, Brother Nehemiah. So you understand one thing. Your family, according to Yahuwah, what his father told him, your family, your mother, your brother, your sister, your cousin, your son, your daughter, is the one that do his will. Yes? So that's how you make the calling. That's why you gotta make sure your election is sure. You gotta make the right decision. What kind of decision you make? A Bible decision. Always make sure what you do is make a Bible decision, not on emotion. Luke chapter 11, Mother Day of Israel, 27-28. Luke chapter 11, verse 27-28. Where's that, Mother Day of Israel?
Luke chapter 11, verse 27-28. Verse 27. And it came to pass, as he spake these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, blessed is the womb that bears you and the pack which thou hast kept. 28. But he said, yea, rather blessed are they that hear the word of Yahuwah and keep it.
Yeah. See that big mouth woman jumped up and said, blessed is Mary. That's what he's saying. She said, blessed is Mary, your mama. He hollered back at that big mouth woman and said, listen, woman, blessed if you hear the word and keep it. That way you blessed that. See, that, so that brought in, see, that's what you got today, push to Mary and faith Jesus right now from this conversation right here. But Yahuwah condemned to that. He said, no. Ain't about blessing my mama. You better hear this word and keep it. That way you're blessing it. Hear this word and keep it and do it. She going to run a big fat mouth holler. Blessed is the path that you suck. Come on, Owah's his mama. Yahuwah with great big old mouth holler back at that woman. Said, woman, blessed is when you hear this word and do it. They go your blessing. Now where you pull that from, Moses of Israel? Deuteronomy chapter 8. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 1, 3, and 6. Hey, Mother D of Israel, where did he pull that verse from? So when his woman was set up to say that, he already was looking at the scriptures in his mind because he was already fully persuaded through the Father's word that really he pulled a precept on that, on the real side, Mother. And Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 1, 3, and verse 6. Hey, Mother D of Israel, delivering the knockout blow is Deuteronomy chapter 8. Verse 1, 3, and 6. What
did
it say?
Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 1, 3, and 6. Verse 1. All the commandments which I command you this day shall you observe to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which Yahweh swear unto your fathers. Verse 3. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knowest not, neither did your fathers know, that he might make thee known that man doeth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of Yahweh do man live. Verse 6. Therefore, thou shalt keep the commandments of Yahweh, your Yahweh, to walk in his ways and to fear him.
You see that? He said, walk in his ways and fear him. Tell me out there, Brother Nehemiah. Let's hear the precept on that. Walk in his ways and fear him. What? How you? Store a chicken in your boots? What do you mean by fear him? 111 verse 10 of Psalms. What do you mean by fear him? 111 verse 10 of the book of Psalms. What that mean, Brother Nehemiah? 111 verse 10 of Psalms. Let's see how you feel some Yahuwah. Come on.
Psalms 111 and verse 10. The fear of the Yahuwah is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments and praise, and his praise endureth forever.
You see that? So when you're fearing Yahuwah, that means you're keeping his law, statutes, and the commandments. So you don't fear, you're not fearing Yahuwah unless you're keeping his law, statutes, and the commandments. So you ain't fearing him, or I fear, no you ain't, because if you're fearing Yahuwah, you be keeping the law, statutes, and commandments. Huh? Look what it says in Leviticus 23, 1, 2, and 3. What it say there, Brother Nehemiah? Then go down to 24, verse 1 and 8. See, when you're fearing Yahuwah, you keeping his law, statutes, and commandments. Then from that next verse, give me Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. So you got back-to-back scriptures. Let's see, can you deliver the knockout blow? Come on.
Leviticus chapter 23, verses 1, 2, and 3, and then 24. I was writing down as you were talking.
Yeah, verse 1 and verse 8. 24, verse 1 and verse 8. Then go to Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. Back to back, back. Deliver, Brother Nehemiah. Come on.
Leviticus chapter 23, verses 1, 2, and 3, and then 24, 9, and 10. And the Yahuwah spake unto Moses, saying, 2. Speak unto
his
children
of Israel. What do you mean by 24? What do you mean about 24 verse 19? I ain't saying about no 24 verse no 9 and 10. pay attention. Get your comprehension level up. I said 24 verse 1 and 8. Then Proverbs chapter 9 verse 10. Proverbs chapter 9 verse 10. The world listen to you, Brother Nehemiah. Get that comprehension level ready to go where you can get be lined up and take care of business when the time appointed. Come on.
Leviticus chapter 23, corrections. Leviticus chapter 23, verses 1 through 3, and then 24, 1 and 8, and then Proverbs 9 and 10. Leviticus 23 and 1 says, And the Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, 2, speak unto the children of Israel, say unto them concerning the feast of the Yahweh, which you shall proclaim to be a righteous gathering, even these are my feasts. 3. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest. And righteous gathering shall you do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of the Yahweh in all your dwellings. 24, Leviticus 24, 1, and then verse 8. And the Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, verse 8. Every Sabbath he shall set in order before the Yahweh continually, being taken from the children of Israel by an everlasting covenant. Then Proverbs 9 and 10. 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 The fear of the Yahweh is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of his righteous is understanding.
Is that it? So make sure you have understanding. That's the key. Make sure you got understanding what's going on, and that's the key. No doubt about it. So, Mother dear of Israel, now, we read where you, if you draw back, you got no pleasure in you. So who on record that we can read in Genesis 38, draw back? Who can we read that got the draw back spirit? Huh? Let's see what we can read in Genesis 38. Let's see if anybody, because you have to pull that verse, if anyone draw back, he ain't got no pleasure in you. So, Mother dear of Israel, I want to know who got a drawback spirit that we can read. In the 38th chapter of Genesis, Mother dear of Israel, in the 38th chapter of Genesis, now what we're going to look for, who got a drawback spirit that we can read. And we're going to see what they're working with. In the 38th chapter, Mother dear of Israel, let's see what can we read in verse number 38, verse 6. Let's see who that we can read got a drawback spirit and where they get it from. Genesis 38, pick your verse 6. And we just keep reading till we get our point. Because we go on look for a drawback spirit, Mother dear of Israel. I need to know who got a drawback spirit. Matter of fact, pick it up at verse number. I'm all over the place right now. So, I'm going looking for who got a drawback spirit, Mother. But I'm struggling big time right now. I noticed that I'm struggling big time. So, I tell you what we do. We just go all the way down to the 38th chapter. And we'll listen to a conversation that was brought back in verse 21. Let's go to Genesis 38, And pick up verse 21. Mother, I'm going to tell you what. We'll bypass that too. Let's pick it up at verse 27. 27 down to verse 30. We're going to Genesis 38, 27, and we'll take it down to verse 30. But I need a name, Mother. I need a name. So I need a name first, because like I said again, I got to make sure the national audience understand it was a name. Read verse 6. Give me one verse, Mother. I'm trying to get a name for the national audience. Verse 6. Just give me one verse. 38 verse 6 of Genesis. Give me a name, Mother. Come on. Let's read that verse. Come on.
Genesis 38, 6. Genesis 38, 6. And Judah took a wife for Er, his firstborn, whose name was Tamar.
So we got Judah on the table.
Tamar.
And what happened next in verse number 10, Mother? What happened in verse 10?
Verse 10. Genesis 38, 10. And the thing which he did displeased Yahweh, wherefore he slew him also.
Well, he slew him because he pulled his seed down on the ground. He didn't pay his father no never mind for instruction. Now I want to go down a little further. Verse number 20. What does 20 say?
Genesis 38:20, and Judah sent the kid by the hand of his friend, to receive the pledge. To receive his pledge from the woman. Hand, but he found her not.
But he found her not. So he didn't find the woman, because he had he told a woman, look here, let me spend some time with you. She said, what you gonna give me for all that? She said, well, what you want? He said, well, give me that bracelet and the staff in your hand, and then by the time you bring me my goat back, and I'll give your stuff back to you. You see? So Tamar got his staff and she got everything as a witness on him. And then when he got the little kid, the goat, to bring it back to him, he said, where old girl I had that gave me some time? Where she at? He said, where that harlot at? They said, ain't no harlot around here. Ain't no harlot around here. He said, Yeah, it's all around here because I got the goat. I got the goat to give it to her. She was here. So he was set up because he both engaged Tamar, one of her sons, and once he got up to age, he reneged on it. So that's what, see what happened, he reneged. So otherwise, he draw back, didn't he? See, what came out of his mouth, he told old Tamar, hey, Tamar, you just wait until my son, my younger son get up to me. S-H-E-L-A-H, until he grown. Then once he gets some age, I'm going to give you him, you see, to you, to wife, to husband. Then by the time he can do so. So you see what he did? He made a statement out of his mouth, and he didn't deliver. See, when you make a statement out of your mouth, Brother Nehemiah, and Numbers 30, verse 1 and 2, see, when you make a statement out of your mouth, see, that's very important to understand something. When you make a statement out of your mouth, Numbers 30, verse 1 and 2, what it say?
Numbers chapter 30, verses 1 and verse 2. It says, "And Moses spake unto the heads of the tribes concerning the children of Israel, saying, This is a thing which the Yahweh has commanded. Verse 2. If a man vow a vow unto the Yahweh, or swear an oath to bind his soul with a bond, he shall not break his word, he shall do according to all that proceedeth out of his mouth."
So you see, once you vow a vow to Yahweh, he hold you accountable for 100 trillion million years. And what happened, Shula was one of his younger son. He told Tamar, "Look here, you're going somewhere and sit down for a minute. When Shula gets up to some age, then I'm going to give you him." Then, okay, she went on to sit back. And once Shula has got some age, he played "There Ain't Nobody Home." See? And that was wrong. See, when you bow out of Yahuwah's, Yahuwah, he'll try you. He can have you make a statement out of your mouth. And then all of a sudden you get up in your feelings and you forget the statement that you made, and don't mess around and being anointed to take care of business. And all of a sudden you get up in your feelings and you forget all about it. Then you wonder why so much drama come in your life. Man, every time some always jumping off. My back going out, my knees going out. Arguments come from nowhere now. See? Because you don't done the thing what Yahweh tell you not to do. He said, otherwise, when the good times are on the table, worship some Yahweh. When it get bad on the table, worship some Yahweh. Incident season, out of season, make sure Yahweh's words stay up front. Give me the 23rd chapter there, brother, Nehemiah Deuteronomy. Hallelujah. Well, give me Deuteronomy 23. Brother Nehemiah. Look at verse 21 down to verse 23. We're going to get a precept on that. See, there's always a lesson to learn. That's why you got to watch the tenor of the conversation. See, you bow to Yahweh, and Yahweh's angels had wrote it down, said, you know, he made a vow. You know? Paul said, now he get off in their feelings, now they not doing the vow. He said, was they anointed? Yes. Did they hear the truth? Yes. Oh, and they draw back from this? Yes. Okay. They done the, hey, mother, they done the St. John 10, verse 1, mother? Hey, mother, what it say in St. John 10, verse 1?
Okay. Yep, St. John chapter 10, verse 1. St. John 10, 1. St. John 10, verse 1. "Truly, truly, I say unto you, he that enters not by the door unto the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber."
Ain't that something? You hear that, Brother Nehemiah? He said, once you made a vow, you've been anointed to take care of this business, and you don't heard and you don't taste the truth. And now you want to come up another way. Mother, what that make you, mother, when you come up another way, mother?
A thief and a robber.
Ain't that something? You hear that Bible saying that, Brother Nehemiah? Hallelujah.
Yes,
give me Deuteronomy 23. Look at verse 21 down to verse 23. See, our job is to tell you, you're going to be tried. But I'll tell you like this. Make sure when you try, you make a Bible answer. A Bible answer, that's a game changer. And hey, Mother D. of Israel, what it says in Sarah, Mother D. of Israel, what it says in Sirach chapter 2, verse 3. Hey, mother, help those stay out in Sirach 2, verse 3. What it say? 2, verse 3.
Well, I got to go get my Ciroc.
Uh-huh. You ain't said none of that. Just you ain't said nothing. Come on, hey, young lion. I mean, brother Nehemiah. You got to
rock
chapter
two.
When you need, you got to bring your bangle. Wait a minute, let me get you talking there, brother Nehemiah. So, you got to always have your bangle. You never know. Somebody might want to come in on the first floor and your bangle on the third floor. Got to be prepared for everything. Got to be prepared when the time for Yahweh is busy. You don't know where nothing going at. You got to be stressed out, ready to go. Sirach, 2 verse 3, what it say there, Brother Nehemiah? What it say?
Sirach chapter 2 and verse 3. Cleave unto him and depart not away, that thou mayest be increased at thy last end.
Is it on run? Is it on run? Some get hot and heavy. Don't break out running. Is it on run? Hang in there. Hang in there, because how you going to witness to others and they ask you about your track record? What was your track record when it got hot and heavy and certain you some things you didn't understand? What did you do? Did you hang in there? So how you going to counsel somebody and when it got hot and heavy on you, you broke out running? You can't counsel nobody with that kind of spirit. You only can counsel somebody that kind of spirit when you lead by example. The harder it is, the better. So now you're able to counsel to tell whoever in front of you, listen, your remedy is the Bible. Whatever you might think in your head, the Bible is the answer to whatever you want. Don't run, hang in there when it gets hard and heavy. You got, you know, there's something that gets together and says, is you going to be with it for good or bad? Yeah, I will. I'll be with it for good and bad. And as soon as something get bad, then you want to break out.
Okay,
see? Oh, it don't got you tough on me, huh? I'm ready to go. See? It got you hard on me, huh? But, see that? So, you know, but see, that's why, give me a precept on that, Brother Nehemiah. In the book of Job, See, Issachar's boy was shown something because he thought he had him over. He had him a nice old a piece of thick legs with him. And he was a great man, Issachar's boy. He was a great man, no doubt about it. But something happened, Brother Nehemiah. Let's see what happened when old Job was on the clock. Now, what kind of great man was Job in 1 verse 1? Matter of fact, let's talk about Job for a minute. Because you might be, anybody can be a Job. Let's see what's going on in Issachar's boy. Job chapter 1:1 down to verse 3. What did it say there, Brother Nehemiah?
Job chapter 1 verses 1 through 3. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job.
Hold on, Brother Nehemiah. I ain't saying about no 1 through 6. I said Job chapter 1, 1, 2, and 3. That's the book I wanted. Job chapter 1, 1, 2, and 3. What did it say that, Brother Nehemiah?
Job chapter 1, verses 1, 2, and 3. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that was perfect and upright, and one that feared Yahweh and eschewed evil. 2. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. 3. His substance also was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 she asses, and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East.
Mm-hmm. He was a great man of the East. You know, he was a great man in the land of Judah. He was a great man of the East. That way he was a great man. Issachar's boy. Huh? But what does Satan say behind that? Verse 9 through 11. What does Satan say? What did Satan say when he started boasting on Trump? Hold on there, Brother Neil, man. But you take a deep breath and don't see it get out the way, man. Take a deep breath. Don't see it get his thoughts out the way, that Brother Neil, man. That's why you got to be slow and quick to hear. Then watch the thing go flow, because see it got something to say now. See you lose his thoughts. Now, Satan starts boasting. I mean, Yahweh starts bragging on old Brother Joe. And Satan, once upon a time ago, used to be able to come straight on up to Yahweh and talk his talk. And listen to Big Digging Tip. Where that at, Phil? What you mean, where that at? Verse 7, Brother Nehemiah, verse 7.
Job chapter 1, starting at verse 7. And the Yahweh said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Yahweh and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. 8. And the Yahweh said,
because Satan used to have a, hold on, Brother Nehemiah. So, Joe, once upon a time ago, had straight access to go to heaven, and, Yahweh cut him down now. But he had to go, let me lose my thoughts a little bit there, Brother Nehemiah. So he said, where you come from, say? He said, well, I've been to and fro in the earth doing what I got to do, seeing people, talking that talk. Got them lying like a rug all over the place. Good. Then Yahweh said something to him. Because like I said, you're going to be tried. That's the point. Understand, you're going to be tried. And whether you live the most, that's what you're going to be tried in. So now Yahweh starts bragging about Issachar's boy. What do you say in verse 8 there, Brother Nehemiah? What do you say in verse 8?
Job chapter 1 and verse 8. And the Yahweh said unto Satan, as thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect man, an upright man, one that fears Yahweh and ensures evil.
Mm-hmm. So if he's perfect, what that mean in Scripture? If he fears Yahweh, what that mean in Scripture? See, that's big business. Hey, Mother dear of Israel, if you're perfect, what that mean in Scripture? Let's go to Matthew's Mother dear of Israel, 548. Yeah, hey, Mother dear of Israel. Hallelujah. Hey, Mother dear of Israel, let's say Matthew's 548. What do you mean by being perfect? What's that supposed to mean? Matthew's 548. We got two words here. Perfect and the of some Yahweh. Let's take one at a time. Perfect. What's that mean, Mother? 548 of and Matthew. What's that mean, Mother?
Matthew chapter 5, verse 48. Be you therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect.
Mm-hmm. And so where that was pulled from? 19, verse 7 in Psalms. And 19, verse 7, Mother, that was pulled from there. Be you perfect because your Father is in heaven. See, remember, your Father, you talk about his Father. Father's in heaven. He didn't give him no, see, his Father, Yahweh, is in heaven. So all the mother names belong to the Son. See how you learn something on the way of learning something? All the rest of the name belongs to the Son. All them big, big words. Come to the Psalm, no doubt about it. Psalm 19, verse 7. What does it say, Mother dear of Israel?
Psalms 19, verse 7. The law of Yahweh is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of Yahweh the Son is sure, making wise the sick.
Mm-hmm. See, the testimony of Yahweh is sure. So that's why that's why he said what you got to have out your mouth, Mother. And Psalm 132, See, that's big business right there, mother. That, you know, sometimes we might say, well, give your closing statements. Your closing statements. He never heard me say, give your testimony. I said, give your closing statements. He didn't say, I give you no testimony. No, not testimony. Let me show you why. See, you never know what's coming out. That's why you got to watch everything from the page of the book. So give me your closing statements. He never heard me say, give you your closing testimony. You know why? Let me show you why. We're going to Psalm 132. See, the Bible is, this Bible is the greatest piece of the literature there. You know the reason why the Osea never said, give your testimony? Let me show you why. And 132, it talks about some things, mother. Look what it says at 132, verse 12. Now, see, that's the spirit of Yahuwah. See how it lets him take you somewhere. So that's why sometimes Osea to give you what your closing statement is. See, he never told you what is your closing testimony. You know why? Let me show you why. Angel going to tell David why. 132, verse 12. Well, it said that, mother dear of Israel. 132, mm-hmm. verse 12 of Psalms. This is it. What did it say? 132, verse 12.
Psalms, chapter 132, verse 12. If thy children will keep my covenant and my testimony, that I shall teach them their children, shall also set upon the throne forevermore.
Ain't that something? Brother Nehemiah, did you hear what the man just said? The angel came from heaven and told the, if the children of Israel do, let me go over this verse for the national audience, really catch what he just said. He says in verse 12, if thy children will keep my covenant and my testimony, your testimony is about some Yahuwah. You got to keep his testimony, not your testimony.
Yahuwah.
So that's why we said closing statements. Give me your closing statement. I ain't never told nobody to give you your closing testimony. Because all the testimony supposed to come out your mouth is who? Yahuwah's testimony. See, you got to bring out, when it's time for testimony, you bring out Yahuwah's testimony. You don't give you don't give your testimony. You got to give Yahuwah's testimony. Oh, I can't get a hallelujah Yahuwah from nobody. Not Isaac. Everybody. I can't get a hallelujah Yahuwah on that, huh? See, let me read it again. Verse, if thy children will keep my covenant and my testimony. See, testimony will come out your mouth. Yahuwah's testimony. Not your testimony. You ain't got no testimony. Your testimony is Yahuwah's testimony. Is that what we read? Is that what Angel saying?
Yahuwah.
Is that what Angel saying? Okay, well, give me a precept Yahuwah. On that. Give me Matthew 12, 31, 32, 36, 37. See, that's why we got to be in position to teach now. It's time out for the preaching is over with. It's time to see who's ready to teach. You don't give your testimony. You give Yahuwah's testimony. Now remember, the angel is the one brought that message down to David. And so, David, when it's time to give a testimony, make sure it's Yahuwah's testimony, not the Christianity. Well, testimony hour, where, you know, he's been so good to me and he helped me with my tricky knee. Ain't nobody ask your testimony. You got to give his testimony.
Hallelujah.
The angel said that. You got to give his testimony. What is his testimony? The angel brought that down. Okay, good. Let's see what he says in Matthew 12, 31, 32. 36-37. So you got to watch that six anointed camps. When it's time for closing statements, make sure they're not giving their testimony. The only testimony you're supposed to give out is Yahweh's testimony. That's how the angel said.
Yahweh.
And look what Yahweh said about that when the angel brought that message down in Matthew's 12, 31, 32, 36, 37. Well, it said that Brother Nehemiah.
Matthew chapter 12, 31, 32, 36, and 37. 31 says, wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the righteous spirit shall not be forgiven unto men. 32. And whosoever speaketh the word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the righteous spirit, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. 36. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. 37. For by your words you shall be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned.
You hear that, Brother Nehemiah?
Hallelujah.
He said that. Angel said something. If the angel said something, and you blaspheme what the angel said, he said, you ain't got nothing coming in this world, or the world will come. What did the angel tell David in 132 verse 12? Angel told David this, Brother Nehemiah. What did the angel tell David in 132 verse 12? What did the angel tell David? Come on. Psalm 132, verse 12. Come on.
Psalms 132 and verse 12. If thy children will keep my covenant and my testimony that I shall teach them, their children shall also sit upon thy throne forevermore.
Ain't that something? Now, that's a big verse there, Brother Nehemiah. Now, you're supposed to put some yell on it, put an arrow next to it, see? And understand one thing.
That's what?
When it's time for your testimony, if you ain't got testimony on Yahweh's testimony, you don't give your testimony, because that's blasphemy, according to the angel. You give the testimony of Yahweh. He says, I'm going to read one more time. Now, there's somebody in the national audience, listen real carefully, because they get that going on real good in Christianity. If, angel talking, if thy children of Israel, will keep my covenant and my testimony, that I will teach them, their children shall also sit upon thy throne forevermore. See that? Give me a precept on that, Mother dear of Israel. Give me 1 Kings 2, 1, 2, and 3. I need a precept on that, Mother. 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 1, 2, and 3. Now, you see what I say? I need a precept on that. Let's see, can we be understanding? See, it's time now. See, remember, the 400 years happened back in Abraham's days. This 400 years of captivity, that's when you went through all of what you're going through now, getting your back beat physically. Now it's time for a spiritual awakening in his word. Your 400 years of that spirit is up now. Getting your back beat in the mind. Because before Yahweh's voice of the true Israelite came on the scene, you all over the place. You're African American, Negro in color, you rainbow coalition, you all over the place. So you're getting a spiritual waking after these 400 years you're talking about now. Because remember, we're going to read maybe tomorrow, never know, that when you go contrary to Yahweh, you're going to pay sooner or later. Now, we're going to bring up something a little bit later. I just wet your beaks on it. It's called the Yahyas. Something they did back in the days, the Yahyas. Then, after they got their reward, they changed their name, and Yahya, they became Yahyas, something else, another name was added to them. And they became a high-ranking in King John II, and they become the first rabbis, but upon a who? Upon a King John II. They got a reward, but what did they do? What did the Yahyas do? They got a reward from King John II for helping them take down their brother. They got a reward for taking down their brother. So if you don't get a reward by taking down your brother, don't you know that you're going to pay sooner or later? If you don't get a reward from the other nation, but your reward is you being a backbiter, murmuring, complaining, and taking down your brother, don't you know Yahweh going to get you from that sooner or later? So when we get to really getting down into this business, you're going to find out that some of David's bloodline peoples that was in the Nebuchadnezzar captivity. And what were they year was? 586? A lot of them were taken to what you call now Spain and Portugal. They were taken to Spain and Portugal. And at the process of time, they started getting in with the government of Spain and Portugal. And Spain and Portugal had a big problem with Judah, of another branch of Judah. But they knew they couldn't whoop the other branch of Judah. So they went and got the Judah that was from the king's seed. They helped us take down what they call now Moors. And the Moors only means black Judah and those of black complexion. That's all the word Moors means. It's not a nationality. So, when they taken down, when John II had the descendants of the king's seed, David, helped them take down their brothers, they was rewarded. And they became known as the Yahyas. Yahya, something else on the end of their name. They became the Yahyas at the end of their name. So anytime they get in trouble, they always get in contact with the Yahyas, and at the end of their name was the name that we're going to talk about maybe tomorrow, the Yahyas. So it's just like you go into a job, and you always volunteer to do overtime. If anybody want to do overtime, I do it. Then all of a sudden you get yourself all good and skinny and grin. One day you say, if your boss holler, if anybody want to do some overtime, you know you going to say something. He said, no, I ain't going to do it. And he get mad at you. He said, you know, you've been doing it all the time. So what happened to the Yahyas? The king got mad at the Yahyas because they went, they tried to break away from what he set up. He said, man, you mean I made you a high priest? I got everybody to respect you. I spent in your hand real good. And now you talking smack to me. So what he did, the the king got mad at him. The Yahyas. He said, I'm gonna take your kids from you. I'm gonna take the king's seed, because y'all, both of y'all from the descendants of David, the king's seed. But you helped me before with your brothers. You helped me before with your brothers. So I tell you what I'm gonna do for you. You know I'm you clear that I am a 115. Hey, mother, dear Israel, see, what we fail to realize, Ecclesiastes 1:15. See, that's why we say this 16:19 thing is really was this group dealing with a punishment for what they did. Because there's a statement made, Mother Dear Israel, please ask him. 1:15 and go with the 7:13. Give me back to back. Ecclesiastes 1:15, write it down. And Ecclesiastes 7:13. See, one thing about it, there's certain things you gotta remember what was said. And Judges 2:1, 2, and 3, Brother Nehemiah. Hey, Brother Nehemiah, what was said in Judges 2:1, 2, and 3? Judges 2:1, 2, and 3. What was said there, Brother Nehemiah? Come on.
Judges chapter 2:1, 2, and 3. And the angel of the Yahuwah came, and the ministering spirit of the Yahuwah came upon Gilgal to Bochim, and said, I made you to go up out of Egypt and have brought unto you the land which I swear unto your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you. 2. And you shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. You shall throw down their altars, but you have not obeyed my voice. Why have you done this? 3. Wherefore,
read
I
that
also
again.
Say,
Hold on, Brother Nehemiah. You got to read what you're saying now, Brother Nehemiah. I know when I'm hearing something, it's a word you skipped about it there. Take your time and read what you see so we can enlighten the national audience about, you got to know when to draw the line. See, the Buffalo Soldiers, they get honored so many years. But what are they getting honored for when they was taken down to the Capitol? Washington, D.C., what did he get honored for? Taking down the Northern Kingdom, the Gilites, for beating the back of their brothers. See, you can't, don't you know y'all paid the price for taking down your brother? Huh? Pay the price.
Yes,
when you take down your brother, don't you know Yahweh, you going to pay the price? He might not get you today, but he'll get you tomorrow. Huh? So if your reward is taking down your brother, don't you know you're going to pay the price sooner or later? Huh? See, that's what I'm trying to tell you. Don't let these suitcases keep on getting in front of you, and the suitcase deal is take down your brother and get the suitcase. That same thing happened with the Yahyas. Take down your brothers and get the suitcase. Good? So start again, 2:1 again there, Brother Nehemiah. Take your time and deliver the knockout blow in this verse because it's very important. But you understand something, because we got to come and say, well, what price will it take you to take down your brother? How much you need? And they say, well, keep on putting that money in that suitcase, and I'll tell you when I got what I need. Start again, 2:1, 2, and 3 again.
Judges chapter 2:1, 2, 3. And the ministry spirit of the Yahuwah came upon Gilgal to Bochim and said, I have made you to go up out of Egypt and have brought you unto the land which I swear unto your father. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you. 2. And you shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. You shall throw down their altars, for you have not obeyed my voice. Why have you done this? 3. Wherefore I also said, I will not drive them out from before you, but they shall be as thorns in your sides, and their false Yahuwah shall be a snare unto you.
You see that? So he was already told to you not to do this by the angel. The angel come from heaven telling you, don't make no leagues with the inhabitants of the land pertaining to taking your brother down. Don't do it. It's going to catch up with you. The angel bringing that down tell you, if you got to get up by pulling your brother down, you're going to lose. The same thing about the Yahyas. They one came out of the captivity of 586. The big digging terrorists over there in Tarsus, now called Spain and Portugal. They look at King Nebuchadnezzar. Send me some of them old good, the king seed. Send me some of that king seed over there. And then at the process of time, the king seed got so happy with the system. And the king seed, some that they have, remember, and 24 verse 60, see, one thing about it, you got to realize something, Brother Nehemiah. In Genesis 24 verse 60 says what? What does it say in Genesis 24 verse 60?
Genesis 24 and verse 60. You say it was 60.
60.
Genesis 24 and 60. And they blessed Rebekah and said unto her, thou art our sister. Be thou the mother of thousands of millions, and let thy seed possess the gate of those which hate them.
See that? So the children of Israel were prophesied to be how many million? The children that could come out of Rebekah were prophesied to be how many millions of Brother Nehemiah, how many millions, according to 24 verse 60?
Thousands of millions.
Thousands of millions. So we never is a minority. We always the majority, but we don't do anything. Come out of horns of Rebecca and Isaac, when Jacob, thousands of millions. See, we thousands. So, but a handful of Judah came out of David. They got over there with King John the Second. And matter of fact, write this name down, Brother Nehemiah. I want you to do a little research on it on tomorrow's broadcast. And this was their name was. And they got a town. But they put their town, you know, like put welcome to a certain town. They had a big sign on their town, see? But what they were doing, that was the strength of King John the Second. Just put it down. I want you to do a little research on it, Brother Nehemiah. L-O-R-D, write it down, L-O-R-D, then write down A-L-D-E-I-A, A-L-D-E-I-A, then middle name, D O S. Last name is N E G R O S. Then up under that, look at D O N Y A H I A. Yep. O N E R O. I mean, D R O. I'm gonna say it again. I'm gonna go back over real. You just point it out. L O R D A L D
O-R-D A-L
G-E-I-A
G-E-L-D-A.
Yeah.
Lord Aldea.
G-O-S. Then D-O-S. Then N-E-G-R-O-S. Then up under that, G-O-N. Y-A-H-I-A, then O-N-E-G-R-O. I want you to repeat that to me there, Brother Nehemiah. We're going to rehearse it on live in color. See, we're not going to do something, so we're going to turn off. We get you even to this on the run to write this down and give us some research on
that is.
What you got there?
Start again. What you got on your paper there, Brother Nehemiah? I have L-O-R-D-A-L-D-E-I-A-D-O-S-N-E-G-R-O-S-D-O-N-Y-A-H-I-A-O-N-G-R-O.
So I want you to tomorrow night's broadcast, Brother Nehemiah, I want you to go over a little bit of that right there. See, I want you to find out what happened. See, a lot of us today, we have a tendency to, get wealthy, but the wrong way. We get wealthy the wrong way. Now, Mother Israel, give me my Ecclesiastes 1:15 and 7:13 there, Mother dear of Israel. Then give me Proverbs 3:31-33. Proverbs 3:31 down to verse 3. Then, Brother Nehemiah, help me, Sirach. And 12-18. Sirach 10:12-18. Had that waiting on those things. I just want to run through that real quick. Sirach chapter 10, verse 12 through 18 now. Brother Nehemiah. So, Mother, look ready to Ecclesiastes, Mother, chapter, Mother, dear of Israel. Give me Ecclesiastes 1:15 now, Mother. What does it say there, Mother, dear of Israel?
Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 15. That which is crooked cannot be made straight, and that which is wanting cannot be numbered. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 13. Consider the works of Yahweh, for who can make that straight which he has made crooked?
You say, consider the works of Yahweh. You see, you say, consider the works of Yahweh. You see, we want you, if he made something crooked, how are you going to straighten it out? Don't you know that whatever you did with those, it's going to come back on you and mess you up big time? See? The same one that when you let them suitcase you up, the same ones gonna come when you have nothing else to give them. Then they gonna turn on you because what he made crooked cannot be made straight. Okay? See, 7:13. What it say, that Mother?
Proverbs. He said Proverbs, right?
No, you still in Ecclesiastes, Mother. You still there? 7:13 now.
Okay, 7:13.
7:13. No comebacks, Mother. Give me 7:13. Same book. 7:13.
Proverbs.
No comeback, Mother.
Proverbs, verse 13.
I ain't about no Proverbs. Hold on, Mother. Hold on. We ain't said nothing about no Proverbs yet. I want Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 13. That's what you got written in your paper. I want that verse. No, I don't need no comeback. No combat. Give me Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 13. That's all I need, Mom. Let's see what you got. Come on.
Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 13. Consider the works of Yahweh. For who can make that straight which he has made crooked?
You see that? So he tell you, why don't you consider the work of Yahweh? What he made crooked, you cannot straighten it out. So when you take all these deals from something that been made crooked, then all of a sudden you wonder why it backfired on you. You had a brother that ran for politics, for public office, and you can look up his record. But then the crooked came to him and told him, hey, I'm going to bag you and take down your brother. The brother's name was Gus Savage. He was a representative or senator back in them, the senator or some of that representative. He said, we're going to bag you and take down your brother. Because he got a great big old mouth. Gus Savage got a great big old mouth. So we're going to bag you to take him down. And guess what he did? Yeah, okay. They bagged him to take Gus Savage down. He lost his office. So he was bagged up. They put all the rumors on him. They done their thing grand style. You can search the record and get the rest of the conversation. But this one that bit the suitcase, he got in that position. Then it was time for him to run for a re-election. We don't call his name, but he called a Caesar Rhodes Scholar. And then when you hear the word called, he's a Rhodes Scholar. But you don't know the history of Caesar Rhodes. Caesar Rhodes, I'm a Rhodes Scholar up under Caesar Rhodes. Is he? You don't know the history of Caesar Rhodes. Still do. So now he will run for re-election, and then the same one that backed him to take down his brother backed somebody that looked like them. Huh? And he got mad. Why y'all gonna bag him? He said, you ain't never heard the voice of the truth, why have you? He said, don't you know what's crooked cannot be made straight? We want you to get rid of Gus Savage. We liked you. We didn't like you, period. We wanted to get rid of him. Then all of a sudden, we get rid of you. Now, you know, from that day to this day, that brother could never win. He couldn't even win dog catching from that day to day. I don't know if he's alive or not. But he couldn't win. He couldn't win if he ran for janitorial duty. He couldn't win nothing from that point to this point today. See? So tell me this. When you mess around and do something contrary to this book, if you don't get you today, you don't get you tomorrow, and that's said about these yayas. The yayas, they done the same thing. They was elevated by the one that sold their children off into three Pacific lands. But the king seed that came out of them, they put them in a Pacific place. The king seed that came from these men that backed the men that backed to take their brother down. They had the king seat to go into a Pacific place. They had a threefold location. He said, now Judah, Benjamin, Levi can go there, but I want that king seat to go in a Pacific place called Angola. That's what I want the king seat to go in. And then you mess around and do the research on the king seed of the bloodline of David was in Angola. And they had a San Juan Bautista ship came and got the ones out of Angola. But then the Flemings intercept them and they took over them. The Flemings. And the Flemings is the one that first reached Jamestown, Virginia, which was really called Jacob, Virginia. Jacobtown, Virginia. Do you know what their name was? Do you know what their name was that came? See, this is what they're talking about in 1619. This story right here. When Yahuwah collected on the Yahyas, was the king seed of David. David was taken on that San Juan Batista, intercepted by the Flemings. The Flemings is the ones brought them to Jamestown, Virginia in 1619. They had a name that taking them right back, and then you go into a dictionary and you look up this word called, you go into the Safari dictionary and you look up this name called Safari Surname Dictionary. Brother Nehemiah, write that down. S-E-P-H-A-R-D-I-A. S-U-R-N-A-N-E Dictionary. Before the 1400s.
S-E-P-H.
Safari. S-E-P-H. S-E-P-H-A-R-D-I-C. S-U-R-N-A-M-E, dictionary. Here's the point we're making. We're going to talk about it sometime this week. Before the 1400s, this word, N-E-G-R-O, came after the 1400s. The name before that in this dictionary is called Yahya. Y-A-H-I-A. But after the 1400s, it became Negro. But one thing about these Negroes here was the direct line of the lineage of King David from Angola. So the ones that signed their name as Negroes in the 1625 census, they signed a name Negro. A couple, Anthony and Isabella, Negro. They was direct bloodline of King David. Because you know why? Because John the Second said, I got 3-4 locations, but take the king seed to Angola. See, the king, the nobles went to Angola, and they used the name Negro. From before that, it was called the Yahyas. And then they used the word Negro. They was direct descendants of King David. So in 1619, the first family that got off the Jamestown, Virginia, which is called Jacobtown, Virginia, was Anthony and Isabel Negro. Before the 1400s, they was called Yahyas. You know what the Yahyas did? They helped take down their brother. And they was awarded big time. But sometime when you take your brother down, it's going to come back upon you. So that's the stuff we're going to get into all next week. I'll let something come up. But Mother D of Israel in 3:31-33 says what in Proverbs? Now I need my Proverbs 3:31 down to verse 33. Hey, Mother D of Israel, what that say? Proverbs chapter 3:31-33. What that say, Mother D of Israel? Mother D of Israel? do that say, Mother D. F. Israel? Proverbs chapter 3. I need verse 31 to 33. That's what I need, Mother, right now. Proverbs 3, 31 down to verse 33. What is that, Mother D. F. Israel?
Proverbs chapter 3, verses 31 to 33. Verse 31. Envy thou not the
Hold on, start again, because you got muted out for a minute. Start again, Mother.
Proverbs chapter 3, verse 31 to 33, verse 31. Envy thou not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways. 32. For the forward is abomination to Yahweh, but his secret is with the righteous. 33. The curse of Yahweh is in the family of the wicked, but he blessed the inhabitants of the just.
Ain't that something? Ain't that something? You see that? So when this group of King C got over there and bit the suitcase, and the suitcase was to take their brothers down over there in Cordova, take their brothers down. So the Yahya teamed up with John the Second. They teamed up with them to take their brother down. Okay. Then all of a sudden, they was also made the first rabbi of Portugal. First rabbi. So you know, look here. We blessed. So he became a like you call it a big N word. He became a big N word. You know, he got a town, a big old sign was said, "This is my town." But how did you get this town? By taking down your brother, John the Second had you take down your brother, and you took your brother down. So he was over there with the sign saying, "This is my town." But how'd you get it? By taking your brother down. You can't take your brother down, yeah, because you're going to lose. See? That would happen today. We pay money to take your brother down. You take the money, take your brother down, then all of a sudden, in time to come, the same one you paid the money to start taking you down. Ask the one that ran against Gus Savage for senator or representative. What was, Brother Nehemiah, what was Gus Savage? See, you put up, what was Gus Savage? He was a senator or representative. He was big in politics. What was he was, Brother Nehemiah? Put up Gus Savage and tell me what was he the big man in. He was a big man in something. But they didn't like his big fat mouth. And they ran against a Rhodes Scholar against him. And Rhodes Scholar won. But he thought they always going to bag him up. And they didn't bag him in the next election. They bagged somebody a little out here. They said, "Look here, we bagged you to take him down. And now we got our own man to take you down." And he's been bitter ever since. I don't know if he's still alive today. Man, he might be. But you can't get up by taking your brother down. Let me try and tell you. You can't get nowhere but temporarily taking your brother down. You're going to lose. See? Brother Nehemiah, can you tell me anything about Gus Savage? What was he was? State
Gus Savage.
Congressman?
Augustus Alexander Gus Savage was an American entrepreneur publisher, and a Democratic member of the United States House of Representatives of Illinois. He was a congressman.
That's what I want to hear. He was a congressman. See it? So Gus Fedden was a congressman. We're not going to get off into it. They ran somebody that looked like him against him. He was a short man, but he was talking some good talk. And they didn't want that kind of spirit to be out of here because somebody might take hold of that spirit. So they ran somebody called a Rhodes Scholar. They had a Caesar Rhodes Scholar against him and beat him. But he messed around and thought he gonna be backed up when he ran. No, he was not. So look at that story real good up the road there, Brother Nehemiah. And that's an example that the Bible is right. Don't go contrary to the Bible. I don't care what it sounds like. Stick with the Bible. Now give me my 10, Sirach 10, 12 to 18, Brother Nehemiah. Give me my Sirach. Chapter 10, verse 12 to 18. What did it say that, Brother Nehemiah?
Sirach chapter 10, verses 12 to 18. The beginning of pride is when one departeth from Yahweh, and his mind is turned away from his maker. 13. For pride is the beginning of sin, and he that has it shall pour out abomination. Therefore, the Yahweh brought upon them strange calamities and overthrew them utterly. 14. For the Yahweh has cast down the thrones of proud princes and set up the meek in their stead. 15. The Yahweh plucked up the roots of the proud nations and planted the lowly in their place. 16. The Yahweh overthrew countries of the nations and destroyed them to the foundations of the earth. 17. He took some of them away and destroyed them and have made their memorial to cease from the earth. 18. Pride was not made for men, nor furious anger for them that were born of a woman.
Now talking about pride. Yeah, well, I need a little bit more out of that. I need a little bit more by Nehemiah. So don't let pride get in the way. Don't never let pride get in the way. You know, pride can mess you up. So you let you know pride can mess you up big time. It pulls you away from your maker. You know, take correction and sit still. Because one day you're going to be on the clock too. Now go to the 12th chapter. Same book. 12. Now look down at verse 12 to 18. Brother Nehemiah. Now let's go to 12. Same book. Sirach 12. 10 to 18. See, remember that pride can mess you up. Get that puffed up spirit. And you can't stand correction, it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you. We're going to find out exactly how it's going to cost you, what can happen to you. So about 12, 10 through 18 now, Brother Nehemiah Israel, come on.
Sirach chapter 12, 10 through 18. Never trust thine enemy, for like as iron rusted, so is his wickedness. 11. Though he humble himself and go crouching, yet take good heed and beware of him, and thou shalt be unto him as if thou hast whipped a looking glass, and thou shalt know that his rust has not been altogether wiped away. 12. Set him not by thee, lest when he hath overthrown thee, he stand up in thy place, neither let him sit at thy right hand, lest he seek to take thy seat. And thou at the last remember my words, and be pricked therewith. 13. Who will pity a charmer that is bitten with the serpent? or any such as come near wild beasts. 14. So one that goeth to a sinner and is defiled with him in his sin, who will pity? 15. For a while he will abide with thee, but if thou begin to fall, he will not tarry. 16. An enemy speaketh sweetly with his lips, but in his mind he imagines how to throw thee into a pit. He will weep with his eyes, but if he find opportunity, he will not be satisfied with blood. 17. If adversity come upon thee, thou shalt find him there first. And though he pretend to help thee, he shall undermine thee. 18. He will shake his head and clap his hands and whisper and change his countenance.
Mm-hmm. So you see, the same thing happened to this Rhodes Scholar. They bagged the Rhodes Scholar up to go against Gus Savage, the Caesar Rhodes Scholar, man. They skinned and grinned with him, put all the money behind him, had him happy. Yeah. Backed him all the way. And all of a sudden, they accomplished what they want to do. Got rid of Gus Savage, the senator. Got rid of him, put him there. He was running the bat mouth, big time. And all of a sudden, his election time come up. He knew he'll get the same support. Guess what? He didn't get it. They went against him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Went against him. And right now is he alive today, but he couldn't win nothing behind that to this day. Because he's not
what is
he did. So the scripture. What you say that brother Nehemiah? What'd you say, brother Nehemiah?
His opponent?
Yeah, no, I don't want to support his opponent name right now. Yeah. But see, and right now, you run his record down right now, he can't win dog catch you.
No.
Because he went against the scripture. He went against the scripture. And we keep telling you, anytime you go against what Yahweh said you're going to lose, that you're going to lose today, you're going to lose tomorrow. See, that's pointing back to these Yahyas. The Yahyas, this book portion, a couple of these families was direct descendants from King David. And they called themselves the Yahyas. Then later on they become called Yahya Negro. Yahya Negro. Huh? So when the king got mad at the Yahya Negroes, he took the Yahya Negro sons and said, listen, you take them to Angola. Put them over there. Don't take them because they're from the tribe of Judah. No. Don't take them over to St. Thomas. You know, not the St. Thomas. I want them special ones to go to Angola. They was over in Angola. See, that's by the hand of Yahweh. They was in Angola. These ones called Negroes. And guess what happened? On the census, or the Virginia census of 1625, you got Anthony and Elizabeth Negro. Direct descendants from David. That's what happened in 1619. And out of that, they had a son called Williams. So when you talk about the 1619 of them coming to Jonestown, huh? That was just only the group that came out of these certain families. Don't just bunch them all together and all it together. No, don't do that. That's wrong. Come out wrong every time. But they had to pay the price for what they did. You join in, and then they turned on you. And then you want to know why they turned on you. Because look how you got your wealth. by taking down your brother. So keep this in your mind. If somebody gonna offer you a whip by taking down your brother, don't take it, because it's against scripture. That's all we're saying. We're talking more about this tomorrow. So, Mother dear of Israel, give me 2 Timothy 2:1-5, and we'll start closing out, Mother. Give me 2 Timothy 2:1-5, Mother dear of Israel. Let's see what the Bible says, and we'll start closing out, Mother. We'll start closing out. Get back at it again tomorrow. But it's time to start closing out. So in 2 Timothy 2:1-5, see, remember, we come on this broadcast, we don't know what we're going to say, Spirit of Yahweh. If you got to take your brother down to get to a point, you're going to lose. If you might not lose today, you're going to lose tomorrow, like the Yahyas. They became Yahya Negro. They take down their brother and got the pat on the back of the other nations. Then once Wednesday was no longer helping them, they turn on them and start taking them down. And that's what happens. And that is how the slave trade started from Portugal. See, you know, the slave trade started in 14, when Pope 1441 and all that. That 1619 thing, that was talking about something totally different. That's when the Yahya, this family, came to Jonestown, Virginia. See, and we thinking the slave trade started in 1619 from Africa. No, you're wrong again. That's why you got to be taught by Yahweh's voice of the true Israelite. That 1619 was a punishment. But we'll start closing out. Come on, Mother dear Israel, give me 2 Timothy 2:1-5. We'll start closing out. And a closing statement.
Yes.
2 Timothy 2:1-5. And a closing statement, Mother dear of Israel. 2 Timothy 2:1-5. And a closing statement. Catch you tomorrow at 6 o'clock. Be on time. You're here. Come on.
2 Timothy 2:1-5. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the mercy that liveth in Yahweh's son. Verse 2. And the thing that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Yahweh the Son. Verse 4. No man that wanteth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. Verse 5. And if a man also strive for mastery, yet he is not crowned, except he strive lawful.
You said you ain't got nothing coming in Yahweh unless you do it lawfully. If you ain't keeping law, that commandments, you can get crowned by the world like the Yahyas and come to nothing. If you don't do it by keeping the law, statutes, commandments, then, hey, you're going to lose. Keep that in your mind. Mother dear of Israel, to tomorrow at 6 o'clock, what your closing statement is behind that? Come on.
Hebrews chapter 13:20-21. And it reads, now Yahweh of peace that brought again from the dead, our Yahweh the Son, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. 21. Make you perfect in every good works to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Yahweh the Son, to whom be greatness forever and ever. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Excellent, Mother. So remember one thing, Brother Nehemiah, give me 1 Corinthians precept 9:24-27 closing statement. Remember, when you go into the records of the U.S. Department of Interior, the Virginia Census of 1624, they got the names of Anthony and Elizabeth Negro. Yaya. They the direct descendants of David, King David. But they there for that punishment collect. They there, that 1619 started day punishment in Jamestown, Virginia. That was day punishment for what they did, what their fathers did. So you gonna pay for what you, they paid for what their fathers did. So yeah, they're direct descendants of King David. But they forefathers and mothers bit into and came over here on a ship called the Treasury. No, the ship called FERMISH. They came on that ship. No, they came on that ship first. Mm-hmm. So they was intercepted. They were probably taking another lesson. But remember one thing, don't. If you got to take your brother down, don't cut no deal to take your brother down, because Yahweh don't like it. 1 Corinthians 9:24-27, what did it say there? Brother Nehemiah in the closing statement tomorrow at 6 o'clock. Come on.
1 Corinthians 9:24-27. Know ye not that they which run in a race all for one receiveth the prize, so run that ye may obtain. 25. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we have an incorruptible. 26. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that breathes the air. 27. But I keep under my body and bring it unto subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway.
Mm-hmm. So he said, look here, keep them by all statutes and commandments. That's what he said in so many words. Don't let the other nations show you suitcase. If it's to take your brother down, don't take it. If you don't pay today, you'll pay tomorrow. Got it? Good. Brother, my Israel, see right here. What's your closing statement here to tomorrow at 6 o'clock? Come on.
Proverbs 29:18. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Hallelujah, Qua. Hallelujah, Qua. Hallelujah, Qua.
Excellent. That's excellent. That's excellent, Brother Nehemiah. Mother dear Israel, you still tall again. Excellent again. Remember one thing. Anthony and Elizabeth Negro, they came to Jonestown, which is Jamestown, which was really Jamestown, which is Jacobstown on the Flemings. F-E- R-M, look up the Flemings. Some spell it with I-S-H or I-N-G. They was the first one on the census of the 1624, and they signed their name, Anthony and Elizabeth Negro, direct descendants from King David. And guess what? They Negroes. So David was a black man, and because Anthony and Isabella came out of Angola, and they are direct descendants from King David. Yeah. That's why, you know, the children of Israel is black folks. So it's always some way you can catch the enemy in there. When they got David, these people's called Negro. On the census report of 1624, they got it written, Anthony and Elizabeth Negro, that formerly known as the Yayas, the first African-American family that came to Jamestown, Virginia, which is Jacobtown, Virginia, you see? And Jacobtown, Virginia was ran at that time by the Stewart family. And they came out of the family line of Zorah. Judah. It was black folks. That 13 colonies were set up by black folks. You know that? So, you know, you got a great history, but you don't know nothing. But you got those that have been misinformed because you are colored, that don't mean you just jump because you got wicked color. Okay? That bit the king seed. And then the king seed was messed back today. Don't we eat the king's meat? It's chicken, hog, and cow. And we want to know about our blood pressure. We don't want to know why we got blood clots and everything else because you're eating the king's meat. Yahweh didn't tell you about eating no king's meat. But you're eating the king's meat now and wonder why you got the problem you got. Remember, all the doctors know one thing to do, cut on you. They'll never tell you the solution is leave our meat alone. Leave our king's meat alone, and then you'll live a prosperous life if you follow Yahweh's voice of a true Israelite. So we'll leave it like that from our elders and our mothers and from the young line, from the up-and-coming teacher, Brother Nehemiah Israel, up-and-coming, but he got long